Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, and a great day to consider the great new controversy that actually may be splitting the Republican Party, at least the Republican Party in Congress. Good conservative Republicans like Roy Blunt of Missouri, like Kevin McCarthy, the House leader for the Republican Party, the minority chief in the House of Representatives, they have said they would have no problem with an effort that is being led by Democrats in the House to change the name of Army bases, with 11 major bases having been singled out that are named after Confederate generals in the Civil War. This is a complicated issue, but it seems to me that the change of names is both inevitable and, to me, obviously appropriate. Somebody who has written on this subject, he has a new book coming out on this subject. The book is called Robert E. Lee and Me, is a Colonel Ty Seduli. Is that, am I pronouncing your name correctly, sir?
That is great, Michael. Thank you.
Okay, good. Well, thank you very much. You have spoken about this before, and I should say he has been the head of the Department of History at the United States Military Academy at West Point, and has served our armed forces in the United States, Germany, Italy, the Balkans, Saudi Arabia, and Iraq. What about the idea that President Trump suggests that this would betray our heritage, he says, of winning victory and freedom? Is your position in line with that?
No, Michael, it's not. First of all, I do believe in winning. We Americans win. The Confederates lost. They had a big L on their forehead. Thank goodness. And they fought.
And by the way, and you make this point, Braxton Bragg, who Fort Bragg is named after, and Fort Bragg, a very, very distinguished elite military base, the 82nd Airborne is there, I believe. And
yes, I've
the well, God bless you for that. Braxton Bragg, as you recognize, was perhaps the worst commander on either side in the entire Civil War, no?
Well, he was certainly in the top three or four. The other one that I would put even worse than him is Fort Polk, which is in Louisiana, after Leonidas Polk, the fighting bishop, whose greatest contribution to the Confederate cause was having a cannonball cleave him in two and dying a glorious battlefield death. Because other than that, he was absolutely horrible. And so we have them named after a mishmash of terrible Confederate generals and those who fought well for a terrible cause.
Okay, how did this happen? How did these bases get named after Confederate generals in the first place?
They were named in two iterations, one half in World War I, half during World War II. We went from 150,000 soldiers to 4 million in World War I, and from about the same, about 150,000 up to, close to 14 million in World War II, and we had to create these posts very quickly. In World War I, the War Department put together a list and tried to make them match where the people were from, coming from in America. So if you were from New Jersey, you went to Alabama and were at Fort George McClellan, which is still there to this day. If you were went to Georgia, you went to Fort Benning, named after a Confederate general. So that was in World War One. In World War Two, they wanted to make sure they appeased local sentiments. But of course, the South was a racial police state then, and black people had no ability to vote and no vote, even though they protested against these names, because they lost the franchise for Jim Crow and racial terror. they weren't allowed to vote, so they were all named, and many of them were named after Confederates.
Okay, so let me ask you something, and I don't know the answer to this. I'm sure that you do, because you've taught this subject, and you're an expert on it. But the armed services were segregated up until President Truman's order in 1948, which is a shameful chapter in our history, and it's unbelievable. We had a lot of very noble, patriotic black people who volunteered and fought, and sometimes were drafted and fought in these segregated units. Did those black units ever have to serve in places named after Confederate generals?
Oh, yes, they did then, and they still, and we have a, you know, the Army today is the most diverse force in the history, in the country. You know, our logisticians, who are the finest logisticians in the world, you know, we are today maintaining in Iraq, Afghanistan, and 160 countries around the world, and 50% of them are African American and majority minority, and their home base today is Fort Lee, named after someone who fought so long and so well to keep their forefathers enslaved.
Okay, right now, to the best of your understanding, the president has really drawn a red line and has said this will never, ever happen on his watch. Is he really the ultimate decision maker on the naming of these military forts if Congress disagrees with him?
Well, it's a great question. It depends on how much he wants to go. You know, we are, and the Army is an obedience-based organization, Michael. So when the president, who is the commander-in-chief, gives an order which is neither illegal, immoral, or unethical, and not changing the names is certainly, I mean, you may not like it, I don't like it, but he can certainly do that. The Army is not going to change it unless Congress votes it in and the president assigns a bill that says that. Having said that, the Army is really, by law, is the one that can change those. So it could do that if it wanted to, but it can't do that if the higher authority, in this case the president, says no. So it's complicated, but at this point the Army is not going to do anything that its commander-in-chief tells it not to.
It sounds like the way this is going in Congress, there's a legislative effort to vote to change the name of these bases. And by the way, you make, I think, a very profound and important point. The U.S. Navy never did name military bases after Confederate or heroes. There are no naval bases, though they did have some boats, some ships that have been decommissioned that were named after Confederate veterans. They still have the Chancellorsville, right, which is named after a battle that the South won.
Right, that's right. And there is a house, the superintendent's house at the Naval Academy is named after a Confederate. But part of the reason is that, you know, the Navy officers during this period weren't as famous as the Army officers, and nor were they Naval Academy graduates. 7 out of the 10 bases or posts are named after West Point graduates, and just 3 of them are not. So I think that's the other part, is those West Point graduates became much more famous than did the Naval Academy graduates.
Okay. So right now you've got this problem. What's the next step? If Congress actually votes, do you expect the president to veto a congressional resolution of some kind?
This is a great point. It depends, I guess, if it's in the Defense Appropriations Bill and he would be vetoing the entire bill. Maybe he wouldn't do that. But, boy, he certainly seemed to draw a very strong line in the sand. And he said in the past that he thinks Lee is a great general. So, I think this is the history that many people grew up with. I certainly grew up with as a child growing up thinking that Robert E. Lee was a great gentleman, a great warrior, and a great person. I just think that we have now gone and looked at it more carefully, and it, in my opinion, it's just not true.
And that's one of the very, very important messages why I look forward to your book. I hope it's called Robert E. Lee and Me. And I really do hope, Colonel, that you will come back. Colonel Ty Siddeley, who teaches history at the United States Military Academy at West Point. When we come back, we're going to be speaking coming up with a Reverend Lee, who is a descendant of Robert E. Lee. about his ancestors' legacy coming up on the MedVet Show. Have you had the chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com. They're a top think tank in the nation for the application of faith and freedom. That's why I visit Grove City College every year to be part of their annual conference, speaking on more than a dozen different topics to a total of thousands of participants. I'm proud to broadcast this show from their campus every year when I'm there, because it's such a wonderful event. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the pandemic, but I encourage you to visit their website. All of their past conferences are available. You can catch my talks along with many other great presentations. Dr. Paul Kenger, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ross Douthat, Ralph Peters, Robbie George, and many, many more. Go to faithandfreedom.com to see wonderful presentations from the sharpest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com or click at the banner at michaelmedved.com.
The coronavirus pandemic has thrown our nation into somewhat of a chaotic situation, and we now find ourselves in completely uncharted territory. As usual, the media presents a confusing, often exaggerated portrayal of events. So where can you go for reliable information? The American Council on Science and Health, ACSH. ACSH is a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. Their expert scientists and medical doctors have been communicating science to the public since 1978. At ACH.org, you'll get answers to all your coronavirus questions. How does it spread? Should I wear a mask? Will there be a treatment? How can I keep my family safe? ACSH also debunks common myths, such as vitamin C being a cure. ACSH provides indispensable analysis in this era of disinformation. You can sign up for a free daily newsletter and contribute to this vital organization. Go to ACSH.org today.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients, employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Show, the issue is definitely heating up, and unless it is resolved, and I certainly hope it will be before the election, it's going to be one more issue that works against President Trump, that divides his party, and that is completely unnecessary. And frankly, it's insane for President Trump to take such a firm position, as he seems to have taken, that he will never, we can never, ever change the names of Fort Benning or of Fort Bragg or of Fort Hood or dozens, almost a dozen, other Army bases. 1-800-955-1776. Just to give you some sense of what we'll have to be dealing with if this issue is not resolved, and resolved in a way that his own defense secretary, Mark Esper, and his own secretary of the Army have said, yeah, they're open to changing the names of bases. Just yesterday, the Marine Corps and the Navy made it official that they are banning the display of the Confederate flag or statues of figures associated with the Confederacy, apparently, in any facilities, in any naval or marine facilities. Okay, is President Trump going to try to countermand that order? Is he upset at NASCAR for having banned the Confederate flag? There's a group called Vote Vets that made a very effective ad, and the ad just goes way over the top at the very end by comparing basically President Trump to Osama bin Laden. And they seem to like Osama bin Laden better than they like President Trump, which is not at all. Here is what the ad sounds like. It's been put up there by a progressive veterans group called Vote Vets. Listen.
Camp bin Laden, Joint Base al-Zarqawi. We wouldn't name American military bases after enemies who attacked our country. But 10 military bases still bear the names of Confederate Army traitors, enemies who took up arms against the United States in defense of slavery, names that dishonor those who serve on those bases today. And you can add someone else to that list. Donald Trump dishonors our service when he stopped the military from removing those Confederate names. We need to rename these forts for American heroes, men and women who served our country honorably. But serving honorably, Mr. President, is something you'll just never understand. Camp.
Okay, this is paid for by Vote Vets. It's illustrated with signs of very realistic mock-up signs that says, welcome to Fort Bin Laden. Welcome to Camp Zarqawi. And again, part of the idea that President Trump deserves to have his name listed to the list of enemies of America, like the Confederate traitors, like Osama bin Laden, or Zarqawi, that's a low blow, and it's outrageous. However, we are in a moment of great intensity here, and there's one good side to it. I do think that I know people say, well, this is a slippery slope. If President Trump gives in on the names of these army bases, what happens to the Washington Monument? What happens to the Jefferson Memorial? And yes, there was Angela Rye was her name. There's one commentator who was a guest on CNN who said, oh, yeah, we have to get rid of the Washington Monument. We have to get rid of the Jefferson Memorial. And there's no support for that. There's certainly no support from that in the military in terms of changing the names of other military bases that may, in fact, bear the names of slave owners. And because, of course, it is true, as the New York Times helpfully pointed out yesterday, there were eight presidents, eight, who owned slaves in the first part of our history. And in fact, of our first five presidents, four of them were slave owners, all of them except for John Adams. They all had very tormented, mostly negative feelings about slavery, but they're slave owners. And the idea that this is a good issue to fight on for Republicans or for President Trump is ridiculous. A key Senate committee voted this week to require the Pentagon to strip military bases and equipment of Confederate names. monuments, or symbols within 3 years, setting up an election year clash with President Trump on the issue and a rapidly building national outcry against historical representations of racism. The break is more than rhetorical. The move to include the proposal was written by Senator Elizabeth Warren, a Democrat of Massachusetts, and it raised the prospect of an election year Senate vote on the issue. Warren spoke at a news conference. Actually, it was Nancy Pelosi who spoke at a news conference and said the American people know these names have to go. And President Trump, she said, seems to be the only person left who doesn't get it. Now, there are a couple of senators who have spoken of support for the president's position, Josh Hawley of Missouri and James Imhoff of Oklahoma. But there are many other Republicans, including Republicans who know their Civil War history, who have been on the other side. James Lankford of Oklahoma, Roy Blunt of Missouri. And he is the one of the ranking members of the committee that voted on this legislation. He said that he has no problem with the idea at all, and added that there's been lots of great soldiers since the Civil War whose names could go on forts. And he points out, and I think he's right, Braxton Bragg was probably the worst commanding general in the Confederate Army. He continued, interesting general to name a fort after. And Senator James Lankford, who's a Republican of Oklahoma, he held back from supporting the renaming specifically, but he said it was important to start a discussion about why they were named after Confederates in the first place. And truly, it's tough when you look at so many of these bases were named in that period right after World War I, which is when, for a variety of reasons, the Ku Klux Klan was coming into prominence. The Ku Klux Klan had a huge rebirth where in some northern states, like Indiana, it had force, and all of a sudden there was a different view of the Confederacy. And the fact that this was not named after Civil War generals immediately after the Civil War, I think, is telling. Now, of course, the greatest of all Civil War generals, certainly the one most celebrated, even more than the guy who beat him, whose name was Ulysses S. Grant, who became president, the one whose reputation still lives. There used to be a legal holiday in southern states, Robert E. Lee's birthday. A member of his family, a direct descendant, is the author of the book, A Sin by Any Other Name, Reckoning with Racism and the Heritage of the South. We'll be speaking to the Reverend Robert Wright Lee IV, coming up on the MedVet Show.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Houseflies defecate every 4 to 5 minutes, spreading diseases and germs. Protect your food and your health with Bug Assault, a miniaturized shotgun which utilizes ordinary table salt as ammunition. Non-toxic, no batteries required, only $39.95. Use discount code GCN and get an extra 10% off your purchase at bugassault.com. Fire your fly swatter. Get your Bug Assault today.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump commenting on Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman General Mark Milley's publicly voiced regret at joining the president for a photo op last week at a church across from the White House. Peaceful protesters were reportedly driven out of the area by federal forces to make that photo op possible. In a sit-down interview with Harris Faulkner of the Fox News show Outnumbered Overtime, Faulkner asked of the general's remarks during an online commencement address to military graduates,
"Do you think it's significant No, I don't think so. No, I mean, if that's the way they feel, I think that's fine. I have good relationships with the military. I've rebuilt our military. When we took it over from President Obama and Biden, the military was a joke.
Milley said appearing in that photo created a false perception of the military being involved in domestic politics. And this is USA Radio News.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you. In today's world, violent crime can victimize anyone, anytime. When violent crime confronts you, will you be able to protect yourself and your loved ones? For personal protection training, there's none better than Front Sight, the world's premier firearms training facility near Las Vegas, Nevada. Learn firearm skills from Front Sight's world-class instructors, led by Front Sight's founder and director, Dr. Ignatius Piazza. Whether you're in law enforcement, the military, or a private citizen, after your first firearm training course at Front Sight, you'll leave with skills that surpass 99% of the gun-owning population, guaranteed. And now, you and your family can train at Front Sight free of charge. Yes, free. Go now to frontsight.com/radio to secure a $2,000 four-day defensive handgun course. Absolutely free with no catch. Enter FRONTSIGHT.com/radio. Act now before these free courses are all taken. Secure your free four-day course at frontsight.com/radio. Front Sight, America's gun training destination.
To meet on the phone, the Reverend Robert Wright Lee IV, who is an author, he's a commentator, a professor, and a preacher. He is the author of the book, A Sin by Any Other Name, Reckoning with Racism and the Heritage of the South. Information about that book is posted at our website at michaelmedved.com. And Reverend Lee is also the author, most relevantly, of a Washington Post piece that became famous, frankly, because it had a real impact. The piece is called Robert E. Lee is My Ancestor, Take Down His Statue, and Let His Cause Be Lost. Reverend Lee, thanks for joining us. First, let's clear up the family connection. Are you 5 generations removed from General Lee? Is that right?
Well, thank you for having me, Michael. I think it can be quite confusing when you get with the connections and the realities. Yes, that's correct. And if you look at it, it is the where people get confused is the grandnephew and how some people connect that and disconnect that. But yes, I am a nephew generations removed of Confederate General Robert E. Lee.
Okay. And what is it about his legacy that you think most merits the removal of his statue from public places?
Well, I think what is most important to remember is the cause he fought for. You know, in the South here, I live in North Carolina, and I think one of the things that is taught most fervently to us is the notion that this was for states' rights. And while that argument could indeed be made, you need only look at the Articles of Secession for the Confederacy to see the notion of why it was for states' rights. Many people in the South, the cause which General Lee took up was for the idea that there was federal overreach, there was federal oversight. And while some people might be sympathetic to that, you can't be sympathetic to that in a time in which it involved enslaving persons.
And of course, Robert E. Lee himself was a slave owner, and the child. Apparently, I'm right that Lee's mother was descended from Martha Washington, right?
Well, actually, Robert E. Lee's wife was Martha was a descendant of Martha Custis, and you know, so there's obvious connections. There's really interesting connections that I'm sure Lee held within his own head as he was trying to decide what he would ultimately do. Of course, we know the history of him being offered commissions in both the United States Army and the Confederacy. And so I will give you, of course, that Lee is a complex figure. But in the end, I think we all need to agree that Lee made the wrong decision in choosing to fight against the United States of America.
Well, you know, what I ask people for is there have been many, many books, some written by Harry Turtledove, one that I remember by the great historian McKinley Cantor, about what if the South had actually won the Civil War, because that was not unthinkable. There were points at the Battle of Antietam, even the Battle of Gettysburg, where it's possible things go on the other way. The Confederacy wins. What would that have meant to America as we know it and to the world? It certainly would have prolonged the life of the evil institution of slavery, right?
I agree with you. And you know, growing up as a kid, hearing these stories of my ancestors of all kinds, whether that was Richard Henry Lee on the, you know, the Lees of Virginia have a very vast history with Francis Lightfoot and, you know, Robert Edward, of course, being the most famous of them all. And you know, a part of me had, I remember growing up, there was one moment where I was like, you know, had he won, my family might be in a different position right now. He might have been President Lee. But then I was quickly alerted to the notion by my grandmother that had that happened, I might not have been able to have the vast wealth of knowledge and kindness that I received from so many people of color that I grew up with. You know, whether that was my confirmation mentor or, you know, other people in my life who really impacted how I view my ancestral line and the cause that was the cause that they fought for.
And let me make it clear, you are not now saying that all naming or statuary or honor of slave owners should be stripped, but for people who fought actively for the Confederacy, where even Alexander H. Stephens, whose statue is in the Capitol building and is targeted for removal, Alexander H. Stephens, the vice president of the Confederacy, gave a cornerstone speech where he said the cornerstone of our new Confederacy is slavery, which he believed was a great benefit to mankind.
I think what's important to remember with any statue is the reason why it's celebrated and the reason why people might choose to celebrate it. You know, I certainly am skeptical of how people have sometimes contextualized, say, Thomas Jefferson or George Washington. Of course, they are hallmark of American history, and they should be, you know, marked. But I think we need to be honest about them. I'm just asking that we have an honest conversation about who we have, you know, made into heroes in this country. You know, I think that, of course, people deserve to be honored in some way. But the notion that we celebrate traitors who actively fought against, you know, and, you know, I'm sure maybe where your listeners are, it's the Union versus the Confederacy. But if you look a little deeper, as I know you do, there is the notion that it's we got to remember that's the United States Army. That is a dangerous notion that we can put up statues to people who fought against, you know, the old saying, the boys in blue. You know, that's just unacceptable to me.
Yeah, and again, one of the points I made with my listeners yesterday is one of the great Union heroes. In fact, maybe next to Grant and Sherman, the greatest of all Union heroes was George H. Thomas, the Rock of Chickamauga, who was a Virginian, like Lee, but he made the right choice to continue to honor his oath and to serve the United States Army. Let me ask you one thing, because this is where it gets really complicated. Have you ever been to Stone Mountain, Georgia?
I have. I grew up going there, actually, as a kid, not because we revered that monument, if you will, but because we enjoyed the vacation spot down there. But yeah, I've been there.
Okay, this is like Mount Rushmore with a gigantic image of Stonewall Jackson, your ancestor, General Lee, and Jefferson Davis. What do you think happens with that gigantic mountain?
You know, that's a complex reality. I have a lot of thoughts about that, honestly. You know, of course, people took good time to carve that. I respect that. But someone asked me about that the other day, and I wish there was a cheese grater big enough. And, you know, please don't hear me. And I don't want any of my your listeners to hear me as suggesting that I don't honor history or honor the characterization of people. I just want us to be honest and tell the correct history, because the correct history is a very different narrative than what we hear from Stone Mountain, Georgia, to Arlington, Virginia.
I bless you for your clarity and for your service. Speaking to the Reverend Robert Wright Lee, who is part of the famous and celebrated Lee family from Virginia. We'll be right back with some of your calls, 1-800-955-1776. And a story from New York City, where the mayor... one of the worst mayors in New York history, certainly. Bill de Blasio has taken up the cause of renaming a roadway in an army base in New York City. Now, the army base is named after Alexander Hamilton, but that's okay because he's a star of Broadway right now, and he was also very strongly anti-slavery. But there are roadways in Fort Hamilton that are named after Stonewall Jackson and, yep, you guessed it, Robert E. Lee. How much longer? We will get to that issue, the latest from Bill de Blasio, coming up on The Medved Show.
The Michael Medved Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
This is Michael Medved, and I know you're worried, like everybody else, about the coronavirus and its impact on our future. Now, all the false, fake information spreading around the internet really does bother me, especially about the economy and how it impacts your financial future. I've always trusted Nick Rovich, who's the owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, to advise me on the right moves. Nick?
With the government adding nearly $5 trillion in liquidity, the uptrend in metals is likely to accelerate. The problem is, the supply of physical gold, silver, and platinum is severely limited and likely to get a lot worse as various mints and refiners are closed. With my 40 years worth of connections, I can help your listeners acquire gold, silver, or platinum, even though many dealers are sold out.
Call Nick Grovich at 800-221-7694. That's 800-221-7694. Or go to AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694 and AmericanFederal.com.
Maybe you're skeptical that Relief Factor, 100% drug-free Relief Factor, can really help you get out of pain. I can understand if Relief Factor were a brand new product. Sure, I'd be skeptical too. But Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of Relief Factor, started the company almost 7 years ago. And we've been talking about it all that time, virtually every day. And now tens of thousands of people have ordered the 3-week quick start and are taking it every day to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is here to stay for a very good reason. So go ahead, be a little skeptical, but I suggest you might become like me and so many others who've tried it, a believer. Neck, shoulder, hip, knee pain, or back pain in my case, from just getting older, exercise, or everyday living, the 3-week quick start is discounted to only $19.95. It's like a trial pack. Go to ReliefFactor.com. That's ReliefFactor.com. Or call 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384.
Attention homeowners that have ever had a broken appliance. That's a joke, right? We've all had broken appliances. I own a home just like you and have found a way for as little as a dollar a day to have all the major appliances in my home on a warranty plan. They're guaranteed to be fixed or replaced. You know how expensive an air conditioner, the heating system, a washing machine, dryer, water heater, or refrigerator can be. For about a dollar a day, all your major appliances are protected in case they break. Unless you're Daddy Warbucks or the Monopoly guy and you don't care about money, call my friends at the Home Service Club now and get a warranty on your major appliances. It's a free call, and the first month is free. But be one of the first 25 people to call within the next 10 minutes.
800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. 800-825-6796. Again, that's 800-825-6796.
Today, many of us are paying attention to our health, and what we eat plays an important role. But so often the water we drink is a mere afterthought when it should be a primary part of our daily nutrition. Real Water would like to change how you think about the water you drink and how it can play an important role in helping your body restore balance and reach its full potential. The key benefits of every bottle of Real Water are stabilized negative ions, balanced pH, detoxification, and it hydrates you like never before. And yes, it tastes great. Real Water is beyond alkalinity, and due to its proprietary process called E2 technology, it's the only drinking water on the market that can maintain a stable negative ionization, which means real science in every bottle. Order your Real Water today and take advantage of special pricing for this audience only by calling 1-855-REALWTR or visiting buyrealwaternow.com. That's 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com. Order now, 1-855-REALWTR or buyrealwaternow.com.
Michael Medved Show, there is yet more on this issue of removing statues, a call by Speaker Pelosi, and a bill that will overwhelmingly pass in the House with some Republican support, including by Kevin McCarthy, the Republican leader in the House, to remove the statues of Confederate heroes, including Jefferson Davis, President of the Confederacy, Alexander H. Stephens, Vice President of the Confederacy, and more, to have those statues removed from Statuary Hall. Now, that is actually a state decision. Roy Blunt, the senator from Missouri, makes it clear that four of the statues are already targeted for removal by the states, just as the state of Mississippi appears to be making progress to remove the Confederate battle flag that right now is on the corner of the state flag. That was only adopted as the Mississippi state flag in 1894. But a new matter has to do with a military base that I'd never heard of. Anybody know that there's an army base in Brooklyn? I didn't know that. I know that Thomas Wolfe once wrote a short story called Only the Dead Know Brooklyn, meaning that it's so big and so complicated and the streets go in no discernible pattern. And there's so many different Brooklyn neighborhoods. Okay, there's a Brooklyn Army base called Fort Hamilton. And Mayor de Blasio waded into a resurgent national debate over the legacy of the Civil War, says the New York Times, by calling yesterday on military officials to rename a street at an Army base in Brooklyn, streets named after Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson. Those names should be taken off everything in America, period, Mr. de Blasio said at a briefing. Really, you think? The United States of America trained and deployed our heroes in those hallowed grounds and won two world wars, President Trump wrote over a number of tweets. That's his statement on renaming the bases. He said, therefore, my administration will not even consider the renaming of those magnificent and fabled military installations. Now, I don't know if that includes Fort Hamilton in Brooklyn. And Hamilton was a New Yorker, so I guess, and he was also had a glorious military history as an aide to President Washington, who saw battle in the Revolutionary War. I would guess that given the strength of Alexander Hamilton's feelings against slavery, he would probably go along in this one case with Bill de Blasio. I mean, How is it that they still have a Robert E. Lee Road in a army base in New York City to this day? Let us go to Mark in Long Beach, Washington. Mark, you're on the Michael Medved Show.
California.
Hey, Mark, you're on.
Okay. I just want to say thank you for taking my call. I miss you so much when I used to hear you on KRLA in L.A. area.
Well, I'm glad you have found us. I hope you will become a Medhead member and listen to us every day. But you can, as you know. I appreciate it. I said Long Beach. You're in Long Beach, California, so go ahead.
Yes, and I just want to tell you up front, I love you, your show, because when you speak, you're honest. You're not biased, and that's why you're the main, my favorite political celebrity on the radio. Here's my two.
I appreciate it very much.
For you. Here's my two quick questions for you. In your opinion, what would be the biggest factor if Trump does not win re-election in a few months? And then my second question is, will Trump or any other Republican in elections to come by in our lifetime ever win the black, the Latino, the Asian, or the Jewish vote? Or will Republicans only have to depend on the white vote?
Look, those are two terrific questions. The biggest factor about Trump winning, and I think Kimberly Strassel has nailed it, she actually repeated a distinction that I have made, oh, maybe 6 months ago, which is a distinction between whether this election is a referendum or it's a choice. In other words, if it's a referendum, if people are going to vote, do I want four more years of this? People will vote no, and Trump will lose badly. If it is a choice, do I think who's going to be worse, Trump or Biden? There's a very good chance you could convince people that Biden would be even worse. But in order to get the kind of choice election, Trump needs to follow more of his own basement strategy. Get out of the way. Don't make yourself the focus of everything. Because if Trump is the focus of everything, there'll be plenty of fault to find. The other question is, look, as recently as 2004, George Walker Bush campaigned hard for Latino votes. And George Walker Bush, who was a strong conservative Republican at the time, he was viewed as the most conservative president we'd ever had. And Bush won 44% of the Latino vote. And with that, he won the election. He also won almost 40% of the Asian vote. The Asian vote should be able to at least have Republicans compete. And for the African American vote, it'll make a huge difference if Trump got 8% of the black vote, Romney got 6% of the black vote against Obama. But I do think that an assiduous kind of campaign can make headway. And you don't need a majority of those votes. You can change the whole election if a Republican candidate gets 25% of the African-American vote. Let's go to Stephen in Everett, Washington. You're on the Michael Medved Show.
Hi, Michael.
Hey.
I just had a question.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Southern strategy, based on one historian, many historians out of many, you know, one history out of many histories, or majority of histories, does it have a basis? Your opinion.
You mean the fact that Richard Nixon made a conscious effort to conduct a Southern strategy and to win by winning Southern states?
No, I'm talking about the flip. I'm talking about, well, it was the Democrats down in the South doing all those bad Jim Crow things and lynching and all that stuff and the KK. But all those people joined the Republican Party. And that's why we gained the South. The Democrats lost the South. They turned Republican. They were still racist. It's just flipped. And the Republicans are still racist because, you know,
Okay, first of all, that's a slander against the South. Anybody who has traveled in the South today, the South is not overwhelmingly racist. It just isn't. And in fact, if you look at states like South Carolina, it was Republican conservatives, like led by Nikki Haley in South Carolina, who finally took down the Confederate battle flag from the state capitol. And I do think that it is a myth. This is a very good point that Ann Coulter makes, and I want to give her credit for this, is a lot of the Southern segregationists, they're looked upon as, oh, conservatives. They were ultra-conservative, even though they were Southern segregationist Democrats. They weren't conservative on economic issues. They were big government, free spending, lots of curbs on business. They were not free market conservatives, and they also tended to be isolationist, which used to be something that was not okay for Republicans. So I do think it is oversimplifying things to say there was only one truly prominent old segregationist who flipped over to the Republican Party. His name was Strom Thurmond, and when he did flip over, he became more moderate, at least, on some of the racial issues, where he had used to be very much in a racist and a segregationist. Very quickly, I was talking about Bill de Blasio. His wife, whose name is Charlene McRae, and who is African-American, said this week that in a perfect world, New York City would be police-free. Yeah, just like not really police-free is CHAZ, the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone. She said it's an ideal, but we're nowhere near achieving that ideal. Days after Minneapolis, lawmakers pledged to dismantle the city's troubled police department. That's the Minneapolis Police Department. McRae described such a society in which no police officers patrolled the streets as a nirvana. That would be like a nirvana utopia that we are nowhere close to getting to. You know what? If that's utopia, living without police officers to enforce the law, please don't invite me anywhere in this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Most of us have been...
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book right it and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. 800-378-3212. That's 800-378-3212.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.